guidance which falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living, in that he paid the boy's bills and sent him to a select school and a camp and sports camps, and then eventually to college, and tried to believe that he was doing his duty. And not many days after, the father gathered all of his interests and aspirations and ambitions and took his journey into a far country, a land of stocks and bonds, travels and hobbies, and other things that do not interest a boy. And there he wasted his precious opportunities of being a friend to his son. When he had spent the very best of his life and had gained money, but had failed to find satisfaction, there arose a mighty famine in his heart, and he began to be in want of sympathy and real companionship. He went and joined himself to one of the clubs of that country, and they elected him as president of the club and sent him to the legislature, and he occupied his time in many events. And he fain would have satisfied himself with the husks that other men did eat, and no man gave unto him real friendship. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many men of my acquaintances have boys whom they understand, and who talk about their boys, and associate with their boys, and seem happy in a relationship with their sons, and I perish with a heart hunger. I will arise and go to my son, and say unto him, 'Son, I have sinned against you and all heaven, and am no more worthy to be called thy father. Make me as one of thine acquaintances.' And he arose and came to his son. But while he was yet afar off, his son saw him and was moved with astonishment, and would not run and fall on his neck, but drew back and was ill at ease. And the father said unto him, 'Son, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am not worthy to be called thy father. I have not done my duty unto thee. Forgive me now, and let me be your friend.' But the son said, 'Not so. I wish it were possible, but it is too late. There was a time when I wanted to know things, when I needed companionship and advice and counsel, but you were too busy. I got the information and I got the companionship, but I got the wrong kind. And now, alas, I have wrecked and destroyed my soul and my body, and there's nothing you can do for me. By God's mercy and by God's grace, not all prodigal fathers end this way, but sadly, too many do."
Amen.
Familiar verse of scripture, let me quote it to you, read it to you, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." I am in Proverbs chapter 11 now, and I want to read verse 28 and 9, and then I'll come back to Ephesians. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be the servant to the wise of heart." To put one's confidence in a job, to put one's confidence in a house,
in other possessions, in a career, in a bank account is foolishness. And yet many, a common man, does just this. It may not be in stocks and bonds and securities and investments of that kind. It might be in hunting gear. It might be in expensive golf clubs. It might be in the sharpest of trucks. It might be in a house, though not a castle, nevertheless in a house. Many a common man trusts in his riches. Oh, that can include me, because I'm certainly not rich. You've heard me say before, I'll say it again and continue to say it. A man that is loving money can love $2,000 worth just as a person who wants $200,000 worth.
That's right. Yeah.
It isn't the amount of the money, it's where the heart is.
That's right.
It's evidenced also by what this man's time is used for in Proverbs. He that trusteth in riches shall fall. What's his time used for? It's used for what I want. Well, I spend my time in the garden, and that garden is, I can feed the family with it, and that's important. Yes, feeding the family is important. But when the garden becomes a god, it better be the family go hungry. You say, you really believe that? Yeah, then for a father to abandon his sons. And daughters would apply, okay? And the things I'm saying about fathers can apply to mothers. I recognize that. It's evidence where a man's interests lie, what he enjoys. And do you notice it says in verse 28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Just like in the story I read of the prodigal father, there will come a time when those riches will not satisfy, and the man will fall. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. So you see, this trusting in things is contrasted to trusting in righteousness. Now, obviously, such a message heeded by a young man enables him to avoid the pitfalls. But what about an older man who's already gone down this road? One word. One word. Forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgiveness. You say, but in the story you read, the man went to his son and he asked forgiveness, and we heard what he said. I'm talking about forgiveness from God. Because our responsibility in fatherhood is first to God. Look at verse 29. He that troubleth his own house. You see, verse 28 says, he that trusteth in his riches, that's the same one who troubleth his own house. And it says he'll fall in verse 28, and in verse 29 it says he'll inherit the wind. He that troubleth his own house. You know, there's various ways that one's house can be troubled. It can come by neglect. Can come by being too busy, by having shallow priorities. It can come by only providing the material. Well, I work so hard. I'm tired. I'm dead tired when I come home. I'm so tired I can't take time to be with the boys. He that troubleth his own house. providing only the material, ignoring or falling short in spiritual matters. Don't make the same mistake that so many old Christian men made, leaving the important things to the mother. Don't make that mistake, because you can never, never change it. You can only go forward from the time and the point at which it's recognized. Now in Ephesians chapter 6, which as I read, and it is a very familiar passage, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Provoke not. Provoke means to irritate. Okay? To irritate, arouse resentment. Whenever I hear that word provoke, what I remember was my father. He died when I was 13, so I don't have a lot of memories of him, and the few that I have, I like to hold on to.
Amen.
But one of them was when I would do something I shouldn't do, he would say to me, now he was Pennsylvania Dutch, "Roger, you provoke me." What was he saying? I irritated him. Now this says, fathers, don't provoke. Okay, I was provoking him, but it's saying, fathers, don't provoke your children. Provoke not your children. But it doesn't only say don't provoke them. It says don't provoke them to wrath. Don't irritate them. Don't agitate them to wrath. Paul, in writing this same advice to the Colossian Christians, wrote it this way, very similar. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. At a maximum, you've got 17 or 18 years with a child. What do you have left with some of yours? Provoke not your children, lest they be discouraged. A father should not cause anger in his children by the severity of his treatment. When the neighbors can hear the parent yelling and screaming at the child, something's out of control. It's probably not the kid.
Yeah.
It's probably not the boy. Resentment develops in a child. Not because of a deserved and a just punishment given in love, but because of provoking, irritating. Don't irritate them. Listen, it's basic. You're the parent, they're the child. Therefore, what you say is what governs. If they are out of control and don't respond, it's because when they were 2 and 3 and 4 years old, you didn't teach them to respond.
That's right.
It isn't because they're incorrigible. It's because they were not told and taught. Let me change that. Because that's what we think. As long as we tell them, we did our job. No. Teaching them. I used to think all that kid needs is a good spanking. All that kid needs is to be whacked up against the side of the head and maybe they'd listen. No, that's probably the problem. All that happened is they were beaten and smacked up against the side of the head. And resentment will grow.
Oh, doesn't it? Yes, sir.
Oh, you see, when they're in the home and when they're under the authority of the parent, most don't do what they feel like doing, but just wait. Graduation day is not so much from school as it is from home. And then they can go out on their own. And out on their own they go. Well, I don't understand. They were in Sunday school all of their life. It wasn't the problem of Sunday school. It was the problem of the Monday school.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the one that's Richburg Central or Allegheny Central or the other centrals. I mean the one at home.
Yeah, that's right.
There was a pastor who started many schools, started a college. He was all for Christian education, but he made this statement. He said, I would rather have a child in a godly Christian home where their parent sets an example and teaches them daily how to live and sets an example for them. I would rather have them in that kind of home than in a Christian school and then they go home to the opposite. Provoke not your children to wrath. Well, I don't understand. They went to church all their life. They were active. They sang in the choir and they were in the youth group and they helped on work days around the church. Yeah, that's because what Christian kids do in Christian families. But what happens in the home is what determines what will happen and why don't they continue. Now, granted, there have been children from good homes, godly homes, that still made the wrong choice and went out to live the hellion life.
That's right.
I acknowledge that. But they are few in number.
That's right.
Compared to the other I'm describing. Oh. I'm going to soon end this and I'll continue next week. Next week's Bible school. Too many a Christian home is troubled because a father most effective times were in anger. I'm going to repeat that. Too many a Christian home is troubled because a father's most effective times were in anger. You say, that doesn't seem to go with what you've been saying. Oh, I need to explain what I mean by effective. The ones that had the most effect on their children were the ones that were spoken and said in anger. Parents being violently angry when punishing their child, even when the children did an offense that deserves punishment, but it needs to be meted out in love. Reason for my chuckle. We had a paddle in our house. It was a piece of furring strip about this long. I carved the handle in it. I rounded the edges, okay? And I didn't drill holes in it, okay? But I wrote on it, because we love you. and then it had a Bible verse on it. I guess it was one of our grandsons who it was hanging in the garage at one point. I think at the house where we're at now, maybe. And it's probably still hanging there. And this particular grandson, who knows? Could have been Sam. If it wasn't Sam, it was his brother Jake. One of them, anyway, took it off the nail where it was hanging. Went like this, you know, hitting himself on the hand. He said, "Hey, Gramps, let me love you." they remembered. Now, we didn't often spank our grandchildren. That was their parents' place.
Yep.
But when they were under our care, if it was warranted, we did. Like I said, I honestly can't remember the time that I did it, but I can't believe that I wouldn't have. So, I just have to give that disclaimer, okay? So they said, "Let me love you, Gramps." Yeah, I guess. I'm jumping 2 pages ahead. I'll catch them the next time I preach on this subject. And I'll have to give a little bit of a summary so you get you back in step. But a Charles Francis Adams, 19th century political figure. Now, 19th century means 1800s, right? Yeah, I always have trouble with that, okay? One of the ways that I can remember it is 20th Century Fox.
Wow.
Okay? Whenever I go to the movies when I was a kid, I'd see that. 20th Century Fox, and I knew it was the 1900s. So I have to think of that, but I didn't want to go through that, which I just did. Hey, it's funny to you, but I got to live with this. Charles Francis Adams, the 19th century political figure and diplomat, he kept a diary. And one day he entered, quote, "Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted," end quote. His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, and it still is in existence. And on that same day, Brooke Adams wrote this entry, I quote, "Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life," end quote. You cannot give enough time to your children. And I would urge, you need to teach your children a good work ethic. You need to teach them how to do things and to do things. But don't make the mistake I made, thinking that the time I spent with my son teaching him how to mow the lawn, how to change oil in the car, how to cut a board with a saw, don't make the mistake of thinking that you're spending time with your children. Do things they like to do. Teach them. Definitely teach them. That's a responsibility. But then spend time doing things they like to do. Fishing, hunting, hiking on trails. You say, "Oh, well, they're..." My son likes to read books all the time. That's a dilemma for most fathers. But you know the solution? Take the kid to a library. Take him to a store and buy a book. Read the book with him. Do things your children like to do. Not just what you like to do. Father in heaven.
Amen.
I pray that you would help me to share what I know is needed because of failures in my own life. Help me to share what I know is needed because of things that were done right. Help me to share, Father, that which will truly be a help. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.